Telecast, the TV industry news review.
Is the TV industry doing its bit in the war on climate change? What are the most carbon-intensive types of programming? And how can the industry help tackle the biggest global issue facing us all? On this week's show, I'm chatting with Sustainability Operations and Project Manager at BAFTA Albert, Katie Murdoch, and Director of Content Operations at Sky Studios, Bea Devine, as we discuss how to measure and address unsustainable production and Sky going net zero carbon by 2030. It's all coming up on this week's telecast. In the past year or so on telecast, we've covered off a lot of issues to do with the fast-evolving content industry and how businesses are getting through and, in some cases, benefiting from the COVID crisis. But one subject that we haven't yet touched on, and one that's bigger than all of that, and indeed seeks to address the existential threat we're all facing, is climate change and the issue of sustainability in TV production. And it's something that I've been meaning to cover on the show for quite a while, and I'm delighted to discuss this and what the content industry is doing and what more can be and should be done is Sustainability Operations and Project Manager at BAFTA Albert, Katie Murdoch, and Director of Content Operations at Sky Studios, Bea Devine. Welcome to Telecast, Katie and Bea.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin.
Great to have you on the show. Thank you for sparing some time to talk about this really important issue. Katie, starting with you, can you tell us about the Albert Standard? Because this is something that I've been aware of that BAFTA has been championing, and a number of producers that I've come across and worked with in the past have been working with the Albert Standard, but perhaps not all of them. So can you tell us a little bit about the Albert Standard, what it is and how it came about?
Yeah, sure. First off, though, I'm really pleased that you headlined this as being a huge crisis, because amongst COVID, you know, the climate crisis is indeed the biggest threat to humanity we're facing at the moment. And while it might seem like we've got more pressing issues at times, particularly in our industry under COVID, the climate crisis is looming unless we do something about it. So Albert was formed a decade ago, actually started at Edinburgh Festival in 2011. So we, as you say, are hosted by BAFTA. That means they give us all the good stuff like HR provision and IT and look after us, nurture us. But we're an industry funded project, and we are the industry project for sustainable production. We have a very much two-pronged approach. We started as a carbon calculator tool, which allows productions to work out the greenhouse gas emissions associated with making their productions. And of course, measuring is the first step to managing. So that was very much sort of first steps. And it's still a crucial first steps for production on this journey. But we have two main aims now at Albert, formed over the last decade. And one is helping production to eliminate the greenhouse gases and environmental impact associated with creating content, which isn't inconsiderable. But we will also recognise that, as well as a negative footprint, that our industry has what I like to call a brain print. And this means the influence and the opportunity, really, to inspire audiences towards sustainable living. So now, Albert, and we're an 11 strong team now, we're based around the UK as a team, and actually have a colleague in Barcelona as well. But we have a suite of tools and offerings, if you like, to help with these two aims. And it's not just the carbon footprint calculator now. We do certification, but we also help on this editorial endeavour towards using our influence for sustainability.
That's really, really clear in terms of the two areas that you work in. And obviously everybody's familiar with the impact that some of the programming that we've seen, Sir David Attenborough obviously comes to mind to begin with, as programming that can really affect change. But when it comes to the production of those shows, some people have said in the past that to produce some amazing natural history programming, it means that you've got to fly crews, or pre-COVID had to flown crews from all over the world to Borneo, let's say, to cover off some, you know, some incredible footage and natural history footage. But the actual impact that that's had on, from a carbon perspective, has been, you know, probably the most damaging, if you like, of any kind of programming. But so it's obviously, you know, as a just juxtaposition there. What's the impact that TV production has on carbon emissions? I mean, can it be broken down? Can we quantify it alongside other industries in terms of how damaging it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what carbon footprinting does. It's that first step, as I said, in our management process. But Alberts gathers carbon footprinting data from thousands of productions in the UK, but also increasingly internationally every single year. This allows us to aggregate data and run reports and all the juicy stuff. If you're looking across genre or across production method, on average, the carbon intensity, that means the carbon emissions associated with an output of TV, in this case, 1 hour of TV across all genres, is about 10 tonnes of CO2. That still might sound like jargon. So what does 10 tonnes equate to? On average, in the UK, one person emits about 10 tonnes of CO2, and that constitutes their heating in their home, their travel, everything they eat, and everything that they buy as well, such as washing machines and TV sets. The 1 hour of TV in the UK is equivalent to one person living in the UK for a year.
Wow. That sounds like a lot to me. I mean, it's difficult to quantify, I suppose, when you put it like that. But, you know, 1 hour of TV equals 10 tonnes of carbon emissions.
Yeah. Now, there's nuances there, as you pointed out. There's different genres come with different impacts and, indeed, different production methods. So, as you said, those productions like natural history, where there's a lot of flying around the globe of camera and kit and crew, they do come with a larger carbon footprint than, for example, an archive-based show or a news-based program for an hour when we compare them. But we have to be mindful that there's a positive impact with natural history. It can be a connection with the natural world. It can be, in the case of Blue Planet 2, pointing out some environmental disasters. So Albert's not here to say those shows mustn't go on. We're here to help reduce the carbon footprint, but also increase that positive impact.
In terms of shows that are produced in the UK, and I know you're mainly focused in the UK, you mentioned that you do have somebody in Barcelona, and are there any other similar organisations that are doing a similar thing in different territories around the world?
There are. Alberts, as I said, has been going for a decade now. We have a team of employees, and we're kindly hosted by BAFTA. But there is a Sustainable Production Alliance in America that works predominantly just with the studios. But we work with our partners across the pond. We're certainly not in a competitive space here. It's all about sharing knowledge and working together, really, on this endeavour.
Yeah, it's obviously a fantastic movement. And I do know, as I say, a number of businesses that I've worked with in the past are Albert compliant, if you like. What percentage of shows produced in the UK currently are Albert compliant? Do you have those sort of figures?
It's a hard figure to come by, actually, without us going to every single broadcast member of ours to work out how many commissions they had in the year. But we're funded by industry. Sitting on Albert's directorate, that means those members responsible for shaping our strategy are major UK broadcasters, including Sky, Discovery, Netflix, Apple UK, BBC, Channel 4, ITV, UK TV, and I've no doubt missed one, BT Sport as well. And these members fund us, and have also, the majority of whom have set mandatory certification requirements. So that means their productions and commissions must get Albert certified. So we are quite confident that in terms of UK broadcast industry, we're capturing a lot of production. Now, of course, there's productions that are outside of major UK broadcasters, such as a lot of short film content. And they're the members and productions that we find it a bit trickier to reach. They have even more freelancers. So we're certainly working on a strategy to encapsulate them as well.
Okay. And so there is a quota in place, essentially, when it comes to broadcasters that are part of your organisation. So they demand certain standards of their suppliers as well.
That's how we work. Yeah, that's our stick, if you like.
Yeah. Okay. And how about Netflix? They spring to mind as being obviously having a lot of big productions going on in the UK. Are they part of this or are they yet to make this a priority?
Netflix productions in the UK get Albert certified, and Netflix sits on our consortium and directorate. They're obviously doing quite a lot of work on their own internal net zero strategy, as well as production strategy for sustainability, but also, of course, looking at streaming emissions as well, which is of particular pertinence to them as well as part of our industry's carbon footprint.
Well, coming to you, Bea, obviously Sky has become, you know, very vocal and you know, taken a leadership role, I think, when it comes to the international broadcast and content industry. You've got a program called Sky Zero, haven't you? And this is something sustainability has been, you know, obviously pretty high on your agenda for a number of years. Can you tell us about what Sky Zero is and what you guys are doing?
Absolutely, Justin. And, you know, Sky was the first media company to go carbon neutral in 2006. And now we want to be net zero carbon by 2030. And Sky Zero is the program that covers that journey towards our net zero carbon targets. And of course, you know, protecting the environment is something that matters to me personally, and it's huge for Sky, and it's not just in the UK, and it's across the group. And also we're working very closely with our NBCU and Comcast partners. Within production, we work very closely with Katie and the Albert team, of course, and all our Sky originals in the UK do require Albert certification. So we made this mandatory. And of course, working with Albert, we're expecting carbon neutral outcome for all titles. And in January this year, we announced our sponsorship of COP26 along with new sustainable production principles and a new planet test that we have launched. And I think these are all a journey. We're not going to get there. And like Katie said earlier, there's a lot that can be done. The whole industry is trying, but it's still new. And I personally think this is an opportunity to work more collaboratively industry-wide than ever. And I think we all have our little bits to input into this.
It's interesting, isn't it, that we've been through COVID and everybody's, you know, had various different priorities and agendas. And actually, I think many people in the industry have looked at their priorities, both as individuals and also as businesses as well. Surely now would be the time for the rest of the industry, because it doesn't seem to be, barring Sky, barring Albert, and barring one or two other broadcasters out there, it doesn't seem to be as high on the agenda as perhaps it should, when it is such an existential issue that we're all dealing with. And as you say, the big COP event is happening this year. Do you think that's going to have an impact on the rest of the TV industry, B, when it comes to as other businesses really stepping up and other parts of the industry, not just producers and broadcasters, but other parts of the industry stepping up and really taking much more of an active approach to this?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's our responsibility, especially for big companies like Sky. We need to take leadership position in this and lead by example, perhaps. And that's why when we launched our sustainable production guidelines and the planet test that we apply to each title as Sky Originals, we've made them available online for everyone to use and adapt. And I think I'm hoping that people will take this and use it and run with it. It's not necessarily a Sky thing. everyone has a part to contribute into this. And as part of our sustainable production principles, we've made a lot of materials available that we've collated over the years. We worked with the Albert team to give some guidance into productions and what can they do in pre-production, what can they do during the production, after production, and how can they put some messaging to consumers at home, to people who are watching this content, and what messages can be taken to them to raise awareness, show the actions. And also we're looking at what we can do around the content, whether we can use Albert logo at the end of each title and sustainability statement on all programs and use our talent for messaging to people at home watching this again. So there's a lot that can be done. And I think we can only lead by example and hope that by raising awareness, we will take everyone on this journey along with ourselves. And I think Albert have a key role in this as well. Perhaps to pull everyone in the industry.
The other thing to remember, I think, is Sky obviously isn't just the studios. It's a full broadcaster, and there's also the set-top boxes and everything else that is involved in the Sky ecosystem, all of your operations, even when it comes to the vans, the engineers that are driving around the UK and other territories around the world as well. So it's actually really quite an undertaking, isn't it, the Sky Zero, to actually become net zero carbon in another 9 years' time. To me, I don't see many other companies really going this far to make this sort of effort. This must be driven from the very top of the business. How do you transform a business as big as Sky to actually deliver on all of these on these ambitions?
Do you spend all of your waking moments watching reality TV? Well, you're in good company. I'm Will.
And I'm Marissa. And we're the hosts of Cheers to Chaos Reality TV and Cocktails, a new weekly podcast that covers the ever so entertaining and cringy world of reality television.
Each week, we'll be raising our glasses and diving into the latest drama and chaos from our favorite reality TV shows.
From 90 Day Fiancé to The Bachelor. We've got all your reality favorites covered.
So grab a drink and join us as we clink our glasses to the hilarious and delightful train wrecks of reality TV.
Subscribe now to Cheers to Chaos, Reality TV and Cocktails on your favorite podcast platform.
It's a massive transformation project, like you said, Justin. And I think we started with establishing a governance, and it applies to not just products, our engineers, home service and productions, but every department across Sky. And I think our initial approach to this was to understand the footprint and reach of every area, look at how we, you know, what are the key value drivers across every business area, and also how can we track the metrics and do a forecast. We are now in that 2030 detailed planning phase in terms of what we have to do each year to get to that zero target. And of course, it's not a quick fix. It's definitely not a quick fix. And everyone have big targets at Sky. But I think we kind of encourage and engage each other, because I think Sky is a very ambitious company. I think we all thrive off that drive from each other. You know, if one department is saying, oh, we've got plans, we may reach that sooner, the other departments are following from behind saying, oh, okay, we need to better them. And I think that ambition, I think, is fantastic. And I think we are all in this together. It's a global crisis. It's not necessarily just reaching a business target. So I think, you know, it's not just our businesses, it's our children and it's our future at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, it's a shared goal, isn't it? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One thing that I see every morning when I, you know, speaking for myself, I'm afraid I drive a diesel car still. I wish I could buy an electric car, but the infrastructure's not there. But that's a whole different conversation. But I'm based at Elstree Studios in Boreham Wood, just north of London, and I'm seeing every day at the moment the most enormous construction project going on to create the new Sky Studios complex. It's a very impressive construction site at the moment. How many stages? Can you tell us a little bit about that and that project? Because in its own right, creating something from scratch that is going to be sustainable is again another challenge.
Absolutely. It's a very, very exciting project, Justin. And I think it's, along with all our other bold commitments, of course, Sky Studios Elstree is going to be the home to accommodate all our production needs, not just for Sky, but also NBCU and wider industry where there's availability. And our ambition here is to build the world's most sustainable film and TV production studios when it opens next year. So on the site, we've got 13 stages, a couple of warehouses and multiple production office buildings. To sort of put that in context, it's the size of 17 football pitches. So it's a big space. And we've got a good big piece of work that we're doing with Albert to create a studio sustainability scorecard. And I think with that, we want to get all the studios and stages globally to have a way to measure, track in multiple areas, because on site we will be using solar energy wherever possible. We'll generate approximately 20% of our energy and store this in large batteries rather than relying on traditional generators. And for everything else, we'll use renewable electricity. And for all our logistics vehicles, we'll use electric vehicles, and we'll use only LED lighting where possible, of course, and we will encourage that all the time. And we will be harvesting rainwater on site, and of course, we will ban single-use plastics on our operations. We're looking deeply into waste management, and we are also trying to be creative with how we are working on our individual productions to see whether we can reuse sets rather than building from scratch every time, and, you know, create an whole asset management system to perhaps repurpose what we have across Sky and NBCU productions. I think this is a whole big beast ahead of us, but it's a big ambition, and we are very, very excited about it.
Justin, you're right to bring up the studios, though, because there's only so much production can do without the infrastructure to support. And the studio scorecard that we're working on with Sky and Sony and others is all about transparency, really, and this collaborative learning from each other, because you can't be perfect in this space, because sometimes the technology doesn't exist. Like you were saying, you're yet to buy an electric vehicle because perhaps charging stations aren't in place, perhaps it's too cost prohibitive at the moment. But all we can do is do our best at the moment, so we can it's better to be hypocritical, I say, rather than cynical, and do what we can rather than do nothing. And the studio scorecard, of which Sky sounds like it's going to score very highly on, will actually rate transparently studios around the world on different sustainability metrics like renewable energy and all the stuff Bea just listed. And, you know, it's showing that our industry is not about greenwashing, as opposed to many other industries out there, and that we're going to be transparent in this endeavour to hopefully share learning.
And it's an interesting time for studios, isn't it, at the moment, because there's huge demand for studios. I mean, every day I saw one was opened in Farnborough today, and I know there's huge demand, and everybody's queuing up to try and get their productions on a soundstage. Equally, a lot of the infrastructure around studios, certainly in the UK, and I would imagine this is similar in many other territories, is it's pretty old. You know, it's actually been built around maybe 60s, certainly in Elstree. I mean, it goes back to the sort of the post-war years. That's a big challenge for them, isn't it, in terms of bringing studios into the sustainable age, if you like, because they do feel, some of them feel a little bit old, a little bit crumbling, and that they need a bit of a green makeover, let's say.
It is, but it's marginal gains as well. You know, every little bit that anyone can do is going to add up. And I think you can't necessarily knock what there is and rebuild those studios, but you can start using green energy and, you know, transitioning. And like our 2030 plan at Sky, I think it's every business's responsibility to put a plan in place and perhaps work slowly over the years. It's not going to happen overnight.
And in some ways, we need to go back in time, because some things the old studios did, studio systems did, were actually very sustainable, like having prop houses on site where new productions would come in and just repurpose props, sets, costumes. And going back to that circular way of producing is actually what we need in some cases.
Well, maybe the efforts that many producers and many in the content industry have been forced to go through during the COVID crisis and within various guidelines, it just shows you what can actually be achieved when you've got your back against the wall and you have to comply with certain rulings. Maybe that's the way forward to actually speed up the more sustainable production. But I mean, we've been talking about production, and obviously the content industry is much bigger than that, isn't it? What about the other areas of the content industry, Katie, that, I mean, Albert is purely concerned with producing programming, but what about things like events, publishing, distribution industry? What about all of these areas? Because they've all got their own role to play as well, haven't they?
They have. They all come with a footprint for sure. And that's where Sky setting ambitious net zero targets is so crucial, because it encapsulates all parts of the supply chain up and down. There's a great project at the moment with the Carbon Trust in connection with Bristol University, who are looking at streaming emissions. And actually, they've just released a paper this week that shows it's actually about the device that you view content through is actually more important in terms of the carbon footprint than the transmission and distribution areas. So watching content through a tablet is actually better, even if it's streamed, than watching through a big, all singing or dancing LCD set-top box. So there are other organisations who are looking at different parts of the chain.
I guess this past year has given us all a pause for thought on how we can help reduce the impact on the environment, because we used to go to a lot of events such as MIPCOM and some industry conferences, etc., flying globally, and we didn't have to go to any of those, and they have mostly taken place, and there's been no need to distribute the printed material for these. And in fact, at last MIPCOM, Jane Millichip, who's our chief content officer, she urged the industry to ban plastics and corporate tat in all these events and markets. And I guess we were able to attend more events more efficiently. I think I have been globally involved on so many more partnerships, discussions, meetings, events, etc., and worked so much more effective over the last year with COVID. And I'm hoping we all maintain this going forward. We don't necessarily need to all travel. And you can see so many more people in a small screen at your own home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is something that I've mentioned a few times on the show before, is that about 3-4 years ago, you could meet some distribution execs who were literally hopping from one event to another almost all around the year. Just the number of air miles, or, you know, and everything that's involved with that, to these events that we're using non-sustainable materials. So it really does sort of lay it bare. And hopefully, as you say, now we're maybe concentrated, our minds are maybe a little bit concentrated to being more sustainable when we actually come out of this, and we can all start to go to these events again, and the industry starts to adapt to this new normal. And now it's time in the show for Katie and Bea to pick their stories of the week, the TV industry news item that's caught their eye in the past 7 days. Katie, what's your story of the week?
Are you a baseball fan? Do you watch movies, TV, or are you curious about the lives of professional baseball players or people in the entertainment industry? Then Peanuts, Popcorn, and Cracker Jacks is the podcast for you. hosted by Jeff Santo, a writer-director and son of a Hall of Fame Chicago Cubs baseball player. This podcast comes out every other Thursday with extraordinary guest interviews and surprise crackerjack guests. It's fun, it's emotional, it's peanuts, popcorn, and crackerjacks.
Well, just divine is Jeremy Clarkson's new farming show on Amazon Prime, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but the reason I've picked this is because Jeremy Clarkson is, it's been important, let's say, in car culture in the UK, and was a climate skeptic, even outright denier a number of years ago. That was until he filmed in Cambodia and firsthand saw the effects of climate change as he was trying to cross a dried up river for one of his productions. He's still not an eco-warrior, and he has battles, quite vocal battles with the vegan movement, for example. But to see him doing a farming show, and I watched the first episode last evening, where he talks about climate justice for farmers. He talks, he sees firsthand the impacts of pouring rainfall on the crops. He argues for the plight of farmers. He argues against industrialized farming. It's quite a journey. And we're not going to get everyone, all our audiences, to think about sustainable living if we only put vegans and eco-warriors on screen. We do actually need different people telling different stories. And that's going to be the way we inspire every sort of tranche of society to come on this journey. So seeing someone like Clarkson's journey from climate denier to farming, I thought it's quite radical.
No, absolutely. And it's actually got some really good reviews, I've seen. We'll put a link, actually, to for everybody to go and have a look at the new Jeremy Clarkson series. How sustainable Amazon is? That's another question altogether. But anyway, how about you, Bea? What's your story of the week?
My story of the week is actually ITV Daytime welcoming their first green satellite vehicle. I think we've been doing all we can at Sky, and we've got our targets as well. But to see the four cars of ITV Daytime's current fleet have been replaced, I think that sort of gives us a bit of a push. And in our production and content Net Zero Carbon Working Group meeting today, we were discussing, okay, we need to set target for all fleet vehicles to be electric by 2024 within sports. News are already doing some fleet of hybrid cars, crew cars and green diesel being in use, but I think we will need to expand that. I'm taking this as a good example for us and to the whole industry.
Right, fantastic. Well, this is all good. We've got green stories of the week, which isn't a surprise. Thank you for those. And now it's time of the show where my guests get to nominate their heroes of the week and who or what they're telling to get in the bin. B, who's your hero of the week?
Well, my hero of the week is the G7 summit and the global leaders pledging to share 1 billion COVID vaccines with the poorer nations internationally.
You can almost see the world leaders desperate to be the first to announce their particular part of that, couldn't you, with Biden and then Boris Johnson, but then everybody together. Absolutely. And as we've discussed on the show before and on the Telecast Plus newsletter, that, you know, until everybody's vaccinated, it's not just a local problem, it's a global problem, much like carbon emissions and climate change. That's the G7 summit is your hero of the week. And who or what are you telling to get in the bin?
Oh, it's the rising COVID cases following the bank holiday crowds and the extension of the restriction 4-week period. For me, it's ongoing. I think we're all very keen to move on and get back to the new normal now and perhaps focus on sustainability rather than COVID issues.
Exactly. We'll we just want everybody to get jabbed, don't you? Just want everybody for us to achieve this immunity.
Definitely. It's going in the right direction, but I think it's not going as fast as we would like it to.
No, maybe we should take a leaf out of California or various other US states who have actually got lotteries for people to get vaccinated. You get vaccinated, you get a free entry to a 1.5 million dollar lottery, which is astonishing. But there we go. Whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes to get everybody jabbed. How about you, Katie? Who's your hero of the week?
Mine is Gareth Southgate and his open letter ahead of the Euros to called Dear England. And that's because he recognises that there's an influence of footballers and football managers beyond just the game and just winning. And he's used that influence to talk about diversity, inclusivity, equality. We work with the Sports Consortium at Albert, who are so engaged and passionate because they see the firsthand impacts of climate change on their sports, but use their influence to talk about climate change and sustainability through commentary, through actually the sports people themselves being passionate about the endeavour. And I blubbed when I read his letter. I really did. I thought, what a beautiful way of using your influence.
Now, that was real leadership, wasn't it? It was true leadership, what you saw from Gareth Southgate, who, you know, who's everybody's got a lot of time for him. He seems a decent guy, but when he put that together, you're absolutely right. I think it's had a real impact. And hopefully, as we go forward, the message will get through to some of these people that are still booing the England team for taking the knee. Anyway, who or what are you telling to get in the bin?
Mine is on the theme of the G7 summit, but it's the person who's responsible for Boris Johnson's Twitter/photography and press, because on his arrival, there was a tweet from Boris Johnson's Twitter to say, looking forward to the G7 summit, to building a fairer and greener world post-COVID. And there was an image of him getting off a domestic flight to Cornwall. Mm. And, that's a complete lack of joining the dots up there, because it's domestic flying that's really contributing to national climate change and carbon footprint emissions. And we really need to tackle it in the UK particularly.
Hopefully the new infrastructure that they're building, the trains, HS2, well, that's a whole other area for us to get into. But I think, you know, in terms of getting people off those domestic flights and getting people back on the trains, and obviously electric vehicles is going to be a massive help. And that's what the Queen did, actually. The Queen travelled home by train from the G7 summit.
She was nearly my hero of the week for doing that.
Good for her. Maybe Boris can take a leaf out of her book. Katie B, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really enjoyed discussing this with you. I mean, it's a huge subject. We could talk about it for a lot longer, and there's lots of other areas that I've probably not even mentioned that are worthy of much more discussion when it comes to climate control and basically the efforts that we all need to go to. But really fascinating to hear about the content industry, what Sky's doing, what Albert's doing. And we'll put some links to various pages on your websites that people can go to and check out more information about how to be more sustainable when it comes to production. So thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Well, that's about it for another week's show. As always, thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to Telecast and share it with friends and colleagues. And a quick reminder to sign up for our free newsletter called Telecast Plus. It's packed with interesting TV industry stories of the week you may have missed, downloadable reports and surveys, and exclusive insight and opinion. And it's all completely free. Just visit our website to sign up at telecast-podcast.com. That's telecast-podcast.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Telecast was edited by Ian Chambers and recorded in London. Until next Thursday, as always, stay safe.